Yeah.
Okay. This is Jennifer Hunt with Christine Manby on the 5th of August 2014 at her home in Sheffield, South Yorkshire. Christine, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Christine Manby, here in Sheffield with Jennifer, and I'm just going to say that actually I've had quite an interesting and checkered career. I started as a teacher, and then eventually, when I came to Sheffield, joined the WRVS and worked with them for over 20 years, alongside doing some teaching. Okay.
Yeah. And what is your earliest memory of WRVS?
My earliest memory is actually when I came to Sheffield, my husband had got a job in social services, and I'd usually been teaching just part-time because I had four children. And in fact, I thought, oh yes, well, when we've come here, I'd like to do some work. And so I looked around for teaching, but initially that was going to take a few weeks or months. And so in fact then I heard actually a call on the radio asking for volunteers for the first Gulf War. And so in fact what happened was I answered this. I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but in fact I got a return phone call. But as you know, in fact nothing really happened for us to do. But they still kept my name on the books, and they asked actually if I would like to come and join in with WRVS. So I went to see the Metropolitan Organiser for Sheffield, and said yes, I would help. And so in fact what I first started doing was helping with a luncheon club. So I put my little girl, who was then two, into... Well, a friend was looking after her. And then I went to the luncheon club weekly. But this went on for about 5 or 6 months, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder if this is really a good idea. But just as I was thinking this, actually, I got a phone call from WRVS again, asking if I would... help with emergency services, because as you probably know, Hillsborough just happened in 89, and so the person who'd been the emergency services organiser, who'd looked after the volunteers there, had been quite affected by this. Her name was Joan Reader, and they were really saying, would I like to come and help her and maybe take over? Because she was getting to the age of sort of retirement, really. And so that's what I did. They said there won't be much to do. We'll only be able to come in once a fortnight if you want to. Because at that time then I had actually got a teaching job, just doing some supply work. And so that's what happened, really. I went into the WRVS office in Gell Street, which was quite a big office, but it's now been taken over by, I think it's a chemist, actually, connected to the university. And so I worked there. And this really was quite very interesting, really, because went inside the building and it was so organised. It was like the headquarters for all the work that went on within Sheffield. Obviously, they looked after the hospitals. They looked after the luncheon clubs and other things as well. I think they had some outlets in some of the homes as well. And also, they had social services who came along, and they got all these organised... a clothing department, And, you know, it was all organised in sizes. It was just really quite remarkable. You'd no idea that that sort of thing happened. And I just went in and worked along with Jo Reader for a few months. And then she went away. She still lives in Sheffield. Hmm. But then I took over some of her training and some of her events. She'd been doing events at St Luke's Hospice. And also, I think, at Whirlow Farm for a few years, and I just took over that sort of work. It was all very new because, obviously, quite different from teaching. The training bit was similar, but the rest of it, you know, it was totally different, really. But we had, actually, a number of volunteers because all the volunteers came from the hospital, really. Mm. They were told about emergency services and they just sort of offered to do it because they knew it wasn't an ongoing thing, but they had been called out quite a few times, but they just really got, you know, into it, and they just volunteered. And actually I think some of those volunteers are still with me, although obviously age catches up, but we still try and keep, even if they're retired, I have a few meetings a year just to keep them interested and also have an active team as well. So, yeah, you know, it was very good, really, the way things worked then. So, pause a minute, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And before you joined in 1992, what did you know about WRVS?
I think the only thing that I knew about WRVS was we lived in London because I worked in Bittin Bradford, Bittin Sheffield, because after being married, came to Sheffield for about 10 months or a year, then we moved to Bradford, and then after about 2 or 3 years we moved to London, to Islington near mm-hmm. there. And I actually had 2 children by then, but I had the third one at the Whittington. And the first bit I came across WRVS was really when I went to the hospital for antenatal care. And I used to sort of think, don't like going to the hospital, but it's all right because you'll be able to get a cup of tea and a biscuit quite cheaply. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that really attracted, not that you couldn't have paid more, but it was just the service that was there, and it was really nice, actually. So that was the very first time that I was introduced to WRVS, really. So that went on for a good few months, but after that, you know, I didn't join or anything.
No.
So. Mhm.
And so you talked a little bit about the luncheon club. But can you tell me a bit more about your role?
In the luncheon club. Well, after being there for a year or two, the Metropolitan Organiser also retired, and so I became her deputy, and sort of took over looking after all the things that I'd mentioned about the hospitals and the luncheon clubs. And while I was there at the beginning, we used to actually go to a church quite near to where Waitrose is now, actually. Mm. And we made lunch for about 60 elderly people. And they came on a very regular basis. And we came, we went there, and it took probably about 7 hours of the day, really, cooking the meal, serving the meal, clearing up. And then, I don't know, I don't think there was much entertainment, actually, but they just got a place to chat and to talk. And that was really very interesting, really, for them. And, you know, it felt very worthwhile, really, yes. But then later, I had a slightly different role, and I got taken by around by the Metropolitan Organiser, and we visited luncheon clubs. And we often went sort of around Christmas or other times. And, you know, it was really good to see all the different ones because mm-hmm. there were There were several, actually, in different parts of Sheffield. I think there was one over the... Well, going towards Norton, there was one, actually.
Yeah.
And then over in Sheffield 5 as well. So there was quite a cross-section, so people could go. It was good.
Mm.
So... but, as I say, there were two distinct roles, really, those, yes,
yeah.
of working there and then sort of going as a visitor, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And seeing that everything was okay and that the supervisor or organiser of the luncheon clubs was, you know, okay. But they had to work really hard. It was quite hard to actually... get it done in time, you know, and sometimes things didn't go straightforwardly, but we always thought of a way round, yes. But mostly it was fine.
And can you tell me about the people who attended the club?
Well, as I say, they were mostly elderly people, but there were some with disabilities as well. And so... The other thing that was interesting was that a lot of them got brought by transport.
Yeah.
There were two drivers, I think, one who drove the van or the minibus, and the other one who actually, helped the people on or off the bus. Mm. So there was always a way and a means of them getting there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so... As I say, they were mostly, they paid a certain amount, I don't know what it was, it wasn't very much,
no.
But something that they could afford. And they all seemed to look forward very much to attending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've already mentioned that it was sort of in a church down by
yes.
where Waitrose is. How would you describe that church where the club was?
I think my thoughts about it are that it was quite dark, actually, inside the church. But people were very happy to come, very chatty, so it was a lovely atmosphere.
Yeah.
Of people being able to get together and friends being made and seeing each other, week after week. If they didn't, where's Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, is he ill, is he alright, you know, so, and the facilities really within the club, within the church, were, well, very different from what they are now,
mm-hmm.
But everybody adhered and, you know, very careful about hygiene and food safety, but just so very different from, say, when we work in places for some emergencies. I won't say they're all wonderful,
no.
But there are some that are really good, but very totally different, more archaic, really. Because it was used for all sorts at church, and it was just once a week that WRVS used it.
And who were the other volunteers that were working with you at the club?
I think on the whole what happened really with the volunteers there, they were, although there were some, like I was saying to you, there were hospital volunteers who did emergency services, there were also volunteers who were just interviewed for the luncheon clubs, really. So it was slightly more separate. They were just people who wanted to do that sort of work, really. Some wanted to work in the hospitals, in retail. Some people wanted to, just work with food, looking after the elderly. It was their choice, really.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't forced into it. You know, they were asked if they'd obviously volunteered for that. Like some of the others had volunteered for other things in the community.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And what sort of food were you serving at the Luncheon Club?
Fairly basic food we were serving, actually. The things that people would like. There weren't any sort of new fancy menus, because I think you have to think in terms of what they need and what they like, really. So on the whole, there might be some sort of casserole, or but usually a couple of vegetables and potatoes of some sort or other. Sometimes towards Christmas, obviously, you had the turkey and maybe joints in between. But it obviously was slightly budget orientated as well. It had to, be okay. There was thoughts of a bit of vegetarian just in case.
Yeah.
There were some people who didn't eat meat, etc. But on the whole, there was quite a good basic menu that was given each week, really. They didn't know what they were going to have until they arrived, but yeah.
And then you've already mentioned you were asked to be Deputy Emergency Services Organiser to get involved.
Yes,
with emergency services.
Well, yes, I was doing that. But also, as I say, became Deputy Metropolitan Organiser. And that sort of was slightly different, because it covered the whole of the Sheffield services, really. I suppose a bit like the locality manager now.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the main manager for that. And as I say, I did that. But one other thing that I should say that we did in Sheffield, and I got very involved with, was the children's holidays.
Mm-hmm.
We did quite a lot of that. Again, I think Joan had done the children's holidays, and it was I think it was lottery funded, because we had to fill in applications for money in order to take them. But the children were actually, we used to take 20 children a year away. Varied, really. I think at first we took them sort of fairly locally into Derbyshire, and then later got a bit further afield, sort of halfway down the country. But it was somewhere that it was run, actually. The camp that they went to was organised by a group in Chesterfield.
Yeah.
And they sort of, we delivered the children off to them. They looked after them for the week, and then we collected them again. But the interesting bit was the interviewing, really, of whether the parents wanted them to go to all this sort of forms and things, mm-hmm. that had to be filled in. Most of them actually were referred by social services, and a lot of the fathers were out of work, and some, most of them were very appreciative. Quite interesting, really, because you used to go for interviews with two people, but some of the places you went to, they were quite different. Yes, no carpets, really very needy. And there was one that sticks in my mind particularly, was where we went into somewhere around Sheffield 5, and this father, I can't remember the mother being around, but father had these children, must have been about 4 or 5, and they all looked to go in steady stages of age. We were asking for this, I think it was a 9-year-old to go with us, but he wouldn't agree to it at all. He was worried. It was like a sort of nest he had, really, of children there. Mm. And children sort of poddling around in nappies and everything. But they looked as though they were very needy, but it was a feeling that he had this nest of kids, and he wouldn't pass them over, mm-hmm. to anybody else's care, which was interesting, really.
Maybe he was worried that you wouldn't
bring
the child back.
That's right. Yeah, I quite appreciated it, yes. But most people were quite agreeable, yeah. And that went on for a few years, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And then, of course, WRVS brought in the fact that you know, children were not allowed to, we weren't allowed to do this any longer. So that was cut. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel about those changes that they made when they started cutting services, like children's holidays?
Well, I suppose I felt probably a bit sad about the whole thing, really, because obviously my background is teaching, and I've also, when I first started teaching, I started teaching in Bradford, in a poor part of Bradford, and I suppose really on the whole I felt what a shame that it couldn't go ahead. Yeah. I could quite realise, because obviously from the teaching aspect, I could quite realise that you have to think about you know, all the difficulties and legislation, etc. But on the other hand, I just thought, what a pity they were losing out, really. But then from a business point of view, and also from you know, organisational point of view, you could see that too.
And as a district metropolitan organiser, you were also involved with hospitals.
Deputy organiser.
You were involved with hospitals as well.
Yes, I was actually. Yes, and that was really going well. It was that there were services, a lot more services, really, or it seems to be, in the hospitals now. You know, the Northern General, Western Park, the Hallamshire, Children's Hospital, we were in there in a big way as well. And that one has fizzled away, I believe. And then they were also in different sort of elderly care homes as well. And they had trolley service. They were in Jessop's too, the old Jessop's, that was. So they were everywhere, really, and so it's quite a big thing to look after, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it kept going, and as I say, the previous metropolitan organiser had worked really hard at all this and did a very good job. So in a way, she passed on a very good service, really. Mm-hmm. So we just tried to continue keeping it like that. But then, obviously, changes have come and changed different things, yes.
And how did those changes affect your role at that time as a deputy organiser?
Well, after that, actually, I think what happened was they did away with the metropolitan organiser role, and then they split the services into emergencies, community, and you know, the other services, the hospital, they all became separate, and that's really when I sort of transferred to the emergency services and became an area emergency services manager. So really from being sort of based in Sheffield, then they went over to Rotherham and had an area office there. So, I don't know, I sometimes thought, you know, it was a pity that, well, for one thing, I'd got a smallish child. It was quite a way to go over to Rotherham. Mm. And also, the main things were done in Sheffield, so I think there was quite a bit of feeling, really, about it being taken to Rotherham. But you could see from the other point of view, because I think, I don't know, at that point, the university was stepping in and wanting to have that plot of land that we had.
Yeah.
Because then they were developing. But even so, from the volunteer point of view, it was a bit sad, really, because, you know, you could go within Sheffield down to Gell Street, but the volunteers from Sheffield, which there were a lot, really, couldn't really go anywhere at that point. But then they did rethink, actually, a little bit, and they did have a little office. I think the university gave them a little office down Wilkinson Street, which I went into a little bit too. But it was initially given just to, you know, have a point of contact. But it didn't seem to work that mm-hmm. well, really. And eventually they gave that up too. Have a drink.
And how would you describe your role as an area emergency services organiser?
That was interesting because then I took over South Yorkshire,
mm-hmm.
The emergency services. So I gathered up some volunteers from Rotherham and from Doncaster and Barnsley. And Sheffield. Sheffield had always been the biggest one, the most volunteers. But Rotherham, there were quite a few volunteers who worked in the Rotherham Hospital, and they were quite busy, and they joined the service and had been in for a while. But I don't think it had gone quite the same, because obviously Joan Reader had just been within Sheffield.
Yeah.
So really, there were a few that we could gather in, but I had to work at getting volunteers from the other areas mm-hmm. like Barnsley. Because at that point then, people wanting some emergency service people from WRVS, but we didn't have them necessarily, so we had to do a bit of recruiting and training. We did a lot of that, really, yes, to try and get people together. But we mainly got them again from the hospital. Doncaster Hospital had some volunteers, so we probably went recruiting there. And Barnsley as well had WRVS. They had a house in Barnsley mm-hmm. at one point. And I'd been there, visited. It was still obviously going when I was area emergency services manager, so that was helpful. But then they closed their clothing department down and everything, and it all yeah. started closing in a bit, really. So that made the job a lot harder. But obviously we did take on some recruiting as best we could, really. And then, obviously, being an area emergency services manager, then they had Darlington office. You probably heard about that, really, yes. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we went up and there was somebody put in charge of the area emergency services managers. We had meetings up there every few months. Some from Nottingham, different people that came from within an area of the North East, really. Mm-hmm. But so it made it quite a different sort of job, really. But alongside, I was always fitting this with part-time teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'd always tended to do. But it worked in quite well. And we also did quite a lot of training. We went to Easing World as well mm-hmm. a lot, and sort of became a trainer,
yeah,
you know, and then a senior trainer, and then later on did a bit more to that, but can talk about that later if you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as an area manager, you had to manage, and also there was an area manager in Rotherham who sort of supposedly looked after everybody. That didn't work awfully well.
No.
I don't think the personnel were always as good as they might have been, but I don't know. It didn't always blend awfully well. And eventually that office did close, yeah. But it went on for a few years, yes. really, yeah.
Mm. And can you tell me about any emergencies that you attended or helped to organise volunteers for at that time?
Yes, I mean, we've done an awful lot, really. We've always been on the emergency services list for Sheffield, and there were call outs of different sorts, really. And one of the big ones was obviously Great Heck.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting because Great Heck, it was actually between three of us in the northeast. So three managers sort of managed the whole thing. I went on the third day, and it had been snowing at that point as well. And we had this tent there, and it was manned quite, you know, with volunteers most of the evening and the night as well to start with, because there had been some casualties and there were police and everybody there. And obviously they needed looking after. So they were very grateful, and we had a generator that, you know, worked most of the time. But I remember going one in the morning very early, and the roof was gradually falling in because of the heavy snow that had come, and the generator was not, it needed petrol, so had to go off and get some of that. I remember that was one of my first jobs, was to find more petrol for the generator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But generally, between the three of us, we kept that going, really. And they were very appreciative. But we were quite near, we saw the actual coaches as they were in the air. And as I say, that we were there for some of the time, but I think mainly the day I was there, the relatives came to see the scene of the crash. And by that time as well, there were other people coming in serving hot food as well. We tended to have soup and sandwiches and things that were possible, really. But that was very, very essential at the point. Yeah. So that was one of them. And there was Nocton as well. That was mm-hmm. another train crash that happened at a similar time. And that was in Lincolnshire. And again, we were doing much the same, really, with the tent and sandwiches. We had this tent, actually, that we were able to purchase, and it was kept in Darlington, I think in the fire station in Darlington. So it was possible for whoever needed it to either have it brought down by the main manager of the northeast, or else you could go up and get it if you got the time, you know, to do it. But it was it would have been good to have a mobile unit, but we never aspired to that. We often had thoughts of it, but we never made it, really, because of the cost, really.
Mm-hmm.
We used to put in requests that that's what should happen, but it didn't materialise. I think Salvation Army and people like that managed it, but we didn't. Yeah, so and then there were obviously in Barnsley, we used to get involved with the police there. They had a big police fair, and we used to cater there for about 1,400 people, actually. That was held on an annual basis. Somebody just sort of rang me up once and said, "Would you come and discuss it with us?" And so we did. And they used to actually, I had a fridge in the garage, and they'd come with a police box and take the fridge, because mm-hmm. I said, "Well, we must have all the sandwiches, you know, with the fridge," and they yeah. didn't have a big enough one, so
no.
Used to come on an annual basis and collect the things that we needed to take over to Barnsley, and then we did it, and we had probably 20-25 volunteers, because it was a big
yeah.
affair, really. Yeah. And then there were those smaller emergencies that we did as well. We used to also get involved with Sheffield Airport. That was when the Sheffield one had an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of the civil aviation exercises with, you know, with Sheffield, because they have to do that every so often to practice in case of an air crash or anything.
Yeah.
So we were involved with a lot of things, really. Particularly with Sheffield, but and Rotherham, we helped at one or two, we had network rail exercises as well around there. And sometimes we were called out by Rotherham to rest centres. We were called out by all of them really to rest centres at one time or another. And then the bigger one came when they had the floods all in South Yorkshire. But that was the sort of time that we're talking about, was really as an area emergency services manager.
And how did you feel when you were called to an emergency?
I don't know. I mean, because as you know, we were on 24 sort of call, 24-hour call out, really, all the days of the year. We were constantly on call. And you just used to do it, really. I think I was very fortunate in a way, because partly because of the teaching, partly because of the training in Easy World, which at one point was a lot. And, you know, you could go to conferences there.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just for the hierarchy, it was sort of for emergency services organisers. So it was very inclusive. So got a lot of ideas and, heard about lots of disasters, and it was used well, really. And we went probably sometimes at least twice a year sometimes, you know, but obviously that eventually petered out. Mm-hmm. And it changed as well, Easy World changed. But that was lovely, you know, just going there and mixing with other people and hearing about different things that they did, really, yeah. But how I sort of felt, that was good preparation. And I don't know, my husband is very good, and he'd just sort of turn over, or it'd help if I needed it. But I've still got a box in the garage, you know, that we've always had. In fact, we had a call out not long ago, actually, mm-hmm. about just over a week ago. We always had that ready. So you've got the basic stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it, really. It was just something I accepted. I didn't feel angry or anything. It was just part of what mm-hmm. the expectation was, really.
Mm. And you just mentioned you have the box in your garage. What sort of things do you keep in that box?
Keeping basic things, really. Keeping insoles, obviously. Other sort of plastic cups for plates and serviettes and the usual sort of business like that. Chopping boards, plastic chopping mm-hmm. boards. Some knives and some plastic cutlery as well, and some spare plastic dishes, and also occasionally I keep dog food around as well, because we've been asked for these sort of things, yeah, so, and dishes, you know, just the basic stuff, and washing up equipment. So, and then what we have to do is just sort of, I have tea and coffee, etc., somewhere else, because it could go a bit damp in the garage, yeah. I don't know. And then all I have to do is go to the shop, and like the other week, just went to the shop and got milk, and as it happened, there were some Muslim people there, mm-hmm. so you have to think about what you're providing. And obviously some of the documentation that you might need as well. So, yeah. So that's basically what's there. It's a good fallback, really, and it's ready. I think there's biscuits somewhere as well, so you can just basically go in
mm-hmm.
to see and assess the situation. So.
And then after being an area organiser from 2000, you were promoted to regional emergency services manager.
Yes, it sort of changed again,
mm-hmm.
and then we took on a region. The regions were always a bit of a debate, really, because I took area emergency services manager for East Midlands, but East Midlands is not really South Yorkshire. No. I said, well, I would like to keep South Yorkshire. That made it easier from my point of view. And so it was split, and I just took on Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, Lincolnshire.
Mm-hmm.
As well, yeah. So, and then somebody else further down took on the other bit of East Midlands, further from Birmingham area. Yes, they went across. So it worked okay. You know, I think Angela was able to sort of divide it off into regions, and then there was the region for the east and the west, and so on. Really, yes. Yeah. So. It was quite a big thing there, because some of that area, well, I knew what was happening in South Yorkshire. Nottinghamshire, I was quite worked alongside and knew this person from our meetings in the North East, and so I knew more or less that her area in Nottinghamshire was pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were also quite demanding, were Nottinghamshire. Derbyshire, I didn't know much about to start with, but they obviously wanted use of volunteers. I'd heard that they got quite a lot of volunteers there. Lincolnshire was actually quite low when I took it over, because it had had a bad, a puckered history, really, that somebody had taken over West Yorkshire and then done Lincolnshire as well, following, and it never really worked. It had one person after another as a sort of emergency services manager, and so they were getting quite fed up and lost a lot of volunteers. Yeah. So when I went there, there was probably, I called the first meeting and there were about 7 or 8 people turned up. And that was sad, because they had had a very good lot of people for emergencies. But then decided that I would really, you know, make a big thing of that one. And so I trained some people to be team leaders. And then I trained these team leaders to train other volunteers, and eventually we ended up with about 120 in that area. So it escalated, but you know, it worked, partly because of the enthusiasm of the main team leader. She was pretty good and sort of bullied them a bit, but in a nice sort of way. And so, you know, if there was an emergency, eventually I could do what you should do, is, you know, I got the call out and sent it to her.
Yeah.
And then she could look at the different areas in Lincolnshire and decide. That was the ideal that we were working for, but it, in some areas that worked and in some areas it didn't work so well. Nottinghamshire inherited quite a lot of quite well trained people, but as I say, Nottinghamshire were very demanding. They'd never join up with a contract or anything, but they were always calling us out. You know, they lost out on money left, right and centre, because you know these contracts that were made, they could pay up to $1,500 or something like that, $2,000 a year. But sometimes I sent them bills through for about 1,200, you know, for one event, in one emergency. So they paid well over the odds, but I kept on telling them that, you know, they wouldn't do it, so just let them pay as you go, really. But that, and they provided, they were very good though, Nottinghamshire, they also provided some good training events for volunteers in the hall, city hall, you know, the main hall in Nottingham, and we looked after them and they looked after us, really, and it worked very well. and Derbyshire, they always were very sort of wanting our help as volunteers. And again, that was pretty good, really, because I did have some very good team leaders there. Who I could call individually. I never had a sort of overall one like in Lincolnshire, which I got, but I could call individual team leaders who try and get a team out, you know. So it's a different way. They all work differently, really.
Yeah.
You have to know, you had to sense and know how they were going to work. But you couldn't... The ideal would have been to have this coordinator in every area, but it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. Wouldn't work in South Yorkshire. I couldn't get anybody, but I could get some very good team leaders, So, but overall, it worked well, and I think we had really, I'm sure Angela may have mentioned, we had the most activity of, you know, of anywhere, really.
Yeah.
It was really, really busy, and we also probably brought in, eventually, the most money, really, as a region.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the way it went, but got a lot of enthusiasm. Nottingham Hospital were very good as well, because I used to go to Nottingham and sort of, you know, where are you going to have your meetings for the team leaders? Because I always believed in having team leader meetings every few months, 3 months or something like that. But obviously, there was a budget crisis, usually. Lincolnshire, they were very good. They let us have their room free in the emergency planning place. Nottinghamshire, the hospitals let us have a room, a postgraduate room, actually, if went there. So that, and that was free, I think. Both of those were free. Derbyshire wasn't so good, but I got over that one. And South Yorkshire, well, we did what we could, really.
Yeah. Yes.
And the main thing that I got over any difficulties in getting rooms was I went to the fire stations. I went to loads of fire stations, and we had equipment. I think, you know, it was suggested that we did, but it actually worked. And South Yorkshire Fire Station gave me a little room in the in their building to keep equipment, etc., and could do some training there if needed to. And Nottinghamshire got one or two there. So the volunteers could go and collect the equipment, etc. And Derbyshire, in Matlock, I got to the fire station there, and they let us have a room for training. As I say, Lincolnshire, the emergency planning helped us. So we got over the difficulties. We had many difficulties,
but managed to.
We thought around it. Yes. So, yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of times that you were keeping equipment in different places. What sort of equipment did you have for emergency services?
Well, obviously, the team leaders had boxes, which, you know, like I described to you earlier on. But the equipment that was kept in the fire stations was bigger equipment, really. So that if it was going, we might have boilers and tea urns and things like that in case we needed. In some areas we had 5 or 6 of these, because sometimes you did have big call outs.
Yeah.
We even had in Derbyshire once or twice on the moors, and so we had a sort of cooker, you know, and they kept let us keep their the gas bit there as well. We just had bigger things that we could bring along, like jugs and different bowls and things that we could actually take as when I'd assess the situation or the team leader had that they could bring along. Maybe we had some extra insoles and things that, you know, in case they ran out, all the things are sort of second batch of things, really. But there was some quite big lots of equipment, really, just in case. Yeah. And just generally spare things and tabards, spare tabards, etc. So there were spares, but very important, really, in case they were needed. So, and also some of the training things were kept there as well. Because obviously we had training sessions and needed folders, etc. And people just can't keep the equipment in their own homes. They haven't got their space, and some don't want to either. You can understand.
Mm-hmm.
So you just had to think of a way of managing. Mm-hmm.
And how would you describe the training that was given to volunteers?
I think the training was very good, really. We had a training manager in Liz Redfern. But before that, we'd also had training. We trained the volunteers in order that if they went in, they knew what to do. They knew about the call out. They knew the sort of etiquettes of working for social service, you know, not to go in and go straight and question the person in charge. You know, they knew the way to go about doing different things. So there was that, and then there was the basic, you know, what they had to have, what they had to carry with them, and be ready to call out, you know, and things like that. So I think the training was good. And if it wasn't, we did get together with Liz and other, you know, other people, and Angela. And we'd sort of say, oh, this isn't working, that isn't good. You know, we sort of reassessed it, really.
Yeah.
So it was, but mainly the manual was fairly detailed and seemed to work well on the whole, yeah. And then when they'd been trained, you know, they got the tabard and found that easier to give them the tabard,
yeah,
etc. And told them, you know, what they should have. And got a little parking card, which it said on WFVS duty, and I said, yeah, you can't use it to go to John Lewis's.
No.
That sort of thing. But yeah, they were quite pleased with it, you know. And, yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
And did you find that? Because during your time as a regional emergency services manager, WRVS went through some changes with changing its colours, its branding.
Yes.
Did you find that that had an impact on emergency services?
I think it had an impact, definitely, because, as you know, volunteers and, I don't say, I think all volunteers are a little bit that they don't like change, really. Mm-hmm. And WRVS didn't like that either. So we sort of went to different parts of the country, told, you know, that we were going to orange and purple, and that's what we were going to have. And we had to sort of sell it to the people, and they didn't like it. The crux of it is, you know, WRVS were always saying, we need money, we need money. But then volunteers feel, well, they're spending all this money on changing. And they don't really think that way, you know, about sometimes it's essential to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard from our point of view to sell it to them.
Yeah.
And you lose some because of that. And we fed back about these sort of things, but, you know, obviously they felt they needed to change. But it just seemed as though, you know, they were changing from one lot, and then they had to change all the hospital things and everything to match and everything,
yeah,
you know. And it's a lot of money, really. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it is hard to sell, yeah. But yeah, it went through a few different reorganisations. So, like they do, it becomes, after a few years, there's going to be another reorganisation.
Yeah.
And you sort of think, oh dear. but remain positive about it if you can.
Yeah.
And try and do it. But it didn't make the job easy particularly.
No.
You lost some good people that you couldn't convince really, you know, that... sort of the rebrands. And of course it's happened more recently. It's gone back again.
Yeah.
You know, and people, we were green, sort of Loverton, maroon,
mm-hmm.
and now it's gone back again to the other, you know, it just sort of, they're obviously going to change again. So the badges, so they say, you know, and everything's going to move back to it. And I don't think it goes down awfully well, really, no.
No.
But as I say, it was part of the job too. To get people through that sort mm-hmm. of that and convince them, and hopefully you did it and saved most people but lost some.
Yeah. Mm. And how did you feel about losing volunteers because of those changes?
Well, I think it's a great pity, because some of them were really, really good volunteers that you lost, that were we did what was called a four-ins walk, actually, in Derbyshire. That was a big walk, and we had loads of volunteers. They started off in West Yorkshire and walked all over to Derbyshire, so we used volunteers all over the place, and that was, you know, very big. And we got somebody there who was into catering and qualified. And he made lots of shepherd's pies for people to finish. And we lost him, you know. And
mm-hmm.
somebody who was quite professional, he just couldn't take anymore. So I was sad that we lost some really, really good people. So you're asking...
So how you felt about the changes?
How I felt. Well, I was sad that we lost that sort of person. And I just really feel that sometimes you didn't really sort of... I was always very okay, and I thought Angela was extremely good. But it just sometimes felt as though... You know, you didn't have a voice.
No.
She didn't have a voice sometimes, although she was very strong and very good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't blame anybody, but it just seemed a pity that they couldn't see the wood for the trees sometimes, yeah. But I think you always feel that
yeah.
with any reorganisation, yeah.
And you've already mentioned the Sheffield floods that happened in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other emergencies that happened during your time as a regional manager?
Yes, I mean, we had quite a few different ones, actually. But the main ones were the floods. Obviously, the floods, actually, we had so many rest centres. We had 14 rest centres overall in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in every area. I think we had one or two in Derbyshire and Lincolnshire, two or three. There were three or four here, and then Nottinghamshire, and there were, you know, four, and then there were more coming up. So that was an enormous thing to really sort of manage, really, yes. And it just sort of started off as, you know, all this rainfall came, and all happened in a day, what would normally happen in a month, and just flooded the whole area, really. And it just brought the reality of, you know, I was taking all the phone calls. You really needed a bigger sort of an office.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things, but... But we managed. We didn't let anybody down. But it was just an enormous affair, really, yes. And it went on for a long time, and we then sort of had to set up a humanitarian assistance centre in Catcliffe, and that went on for another month with more volunteers, and so it just went on for ages, really, yeah, continuously providing volunteers. And at the same time, actually, it was interesting, was also at Easy Mole doing a course there, because there were three of us that were chosen as associate lecturers, so sort of dancing a bit between the two, as well as doing some of the work there. We did that for a week, actually. We did that for about 3 or 4 years, lecturing in rest centre management, and that was quite good. Another big one earlier was the Kosovan refugees. I don't know if you've heard about it.
No.
I haven't mentioned that one, but that was earlier. And we had these people came over from Kosovo, and they were in South Yorkshire. We had some just round the corner here. We had about 100 and odd round here, and Doncaster was a big area. That went on again for months, really, and Rotherham. So those were, very big ones, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always being sort of called out. There was always sort of like Mansfield fires or different things in Lincolnshire, and they immediately got on to you, and called you. One of the big ones as well that we eventually got into was the Doncaster Airport. We did a lot for the, after Sheffield closed down, Doncaster took over, and we were asked to help again with the exercises for the civil aviation, and so we did that for several years until more or less finished in 2010, because I don't think when the reorganisation came they realised quite what we did, and so I think we lost a few things because of that. But we were always sort of worked there, and that's still going. I don't think it ever got as big as they expected it to. I think they thought that there were going to be flights to America and everything, but it still sort of bubbles along.
It is quite a small airport.
It is on the whole, but there were big thoughts, because at one point that's where the Kosovan refugees were actually for part of the time. And then they changed it, and then they knocked some of it down, and made runways and everything. So, I think all the time we've been in the loop, really.
Yeah,
we've always sort of, and that was the benefit of staying with South Yorkshire, really, because you can, you stayed with them.
Yeah,
And they didn't go elsewhere, really. No. Obviously, we've always worked alongside Red Cross and Salvation Army and other voluntary organisations. We used to have sort of volunteer welfare forums that we went to in Sheffield, and there was part of the local resilience forum, the LRFs, in South Yorkshire and Nottinghamshire. So I've always had quite a good presence, really, when I was doing a regional job. But I think it was because of that presence that we kept on a lot of the work that we did. Because I think now they've taken they've changed it again. You do lose it if you're not there. Red Cross were always hovering, but and we worked well with them. But if we weren't there, they just were ready to jump in. So we just tried to fly the flag for WRVS, really.
And do you find with all the changes that have been made to emergency services and resilience and recovery that we've still got that relationship with other organisations?
I think, yes, we have, but I'm talking about it because after reorganisation took place, I actually just took it over for Sheffield. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to do it at all.
No.
And then the local authority said, well, can't you just stay for Sheffield? So I decided I would stay on for R&R for Sheffield and did that. So I still meet people I've known at meetings. I go to emergency planning meetings still. And I go to humanitarian assistance centre meetings. So I still meet people that I've known a long time.
Yeah.
But I have heard from one or two, I just hear now and again from an odd volunteer in Nottinghamshire, I think it's lost its presence.
Yeah.
And therefore they don't get called out. We were always called out. We were the number one.
Mm-hmm.
In certain places, but in Derbyshire they've changed. They've got their own volunteers now, and I was speaking to the person who did a lot of that work not that long ago, because she came to an exercise in Sheffield, and she just sort of said, well, after you'd gone, we couldn't rely on a response. So we did try, but you know, it was. I suppose it's because we always felt that we, you had to be there at the meetings, and the way it was organised, you just couldn't. You know, the taking on hospitals and everything,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't do that. I couldn't have done that as a metropolitan organiser.
No.
You couldn't. So they've won some and lost some, really. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And have you attended any emergencies recently?
Yes, I attended one only about 10 days ago, actually, not far from here. Down, it was a rest centre in King Edward's School. And there was this emergency down near West Bar. And they thought there was a sort of suspicious package. And there was sort of, I believe, about, well, eventually 30 people came, but they weren't sure how many people might come. And they found then another package as well. So eventually the army did come in and blow the package up. But they kept the people out, outside from about 3 o'clock, and they didn't come to the rest centre till about 9 or 10 o'clock. So they were kept waiting quite a while. But they were in the rest centre about a couple of hours, and we provided welfare support for them there. Mm-hmm. So yes, we were called out quite recently, and also we've been involved with two very big exercises in March this year. We were involved at Ollerton Stadium, with the fire service. There was this supposed car that ran out of control and set part of the building on fire, and lots of dead people acting dead were around, and so they then had us in with volunteers at two sides of the stadium. That was interesting, really, because it was quite hard, because we're at two sides and it's quite a big stadium. Actually, I've never been before, but it is. And But again, we made it work, and we were supposed to be providing sort of a lunch for about 300 people. So we decided that we worked it out how to do it, and we did it, and bagged a lot of the food and did that. And then the week after, there was one at the town hall as well, another exercise. So we did that one, and that was just sort of a rest centre, and to see how it went. And I think in the afternoon they had friends and relatives centre. You know, so they're constantly having exercises to keep people ready for action. And last week I actually went to a debrief from the other one, and it all seemed to go very well, because we had to be very aware of, you know, that it was Ramadan, actually.
Yes.
and so we had to be aware. And these are the sort of things you have to. Mm-hmm. But we were fortunate, really. I was fortunate in when I was a few years ago. You know, we did exams in health and food safety, and safety, general safety, yeah, for volunteers. So, but these are all things that you've had to be aware of, really.
Mm. And do you find that the exercises you do now are very different from when you first started with WPVS?
I don't know, really. We've had such a varied lot. Exercises are never the same. I mean, in sort of Barnsley, we had ones outside, and we've had call centre exercises, we've had chemical spillage exercises, fires, so many different ones. So, I don't know, really. I don't think they've changed that much, really. There's still the basic things they have to look mm-hmm. for, the legislation. Volunteers have to be trained, yeah, a bit more, but not that much more, because we've always had to be careful. When we went to St Luke's Hospice, actually, we used to provide for hundreds of people that came to the fair. It was a very big affair that we did. And so, you know, we had to take in lots and lots of different things and be aware of the food safety. So, I don't know, I think you've got to adapt to the situation. We did a big one in Nottinghamshire once at some air base. And they're not the easiest ones, because they just don't have the facilities always. And had to sort of clean the areas, you know, and that's not that long ago, really.
No.
So it depends, really. I don't think they've changed dramatically, really, the exercises, but people are much more on the ball about, you know, legislation.
Yeah.
And got to be aware of that. And so because of that, you have to be as well, and make sure that things go right.
And also, for your emergency service work, you received an OBE in 2012. How did you feel about that?
I was absolutely amazed, really. Yes, I'd just been out with some friends and came back and saw this letter from mm-hmm. the Cabinet Office, and thought, I don't think it registered it was a cabinet, it just looked like an official letter. Oh dear, I've gone through a red light. That was my initial yeah. thought. And then I opened the envelope, and I just read, you know, that the Prime Minister was putting your name forward to the Queen to receive the OBE.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to read it about four times, you know, it just didn't register at all. So it was a total surprise, yeah. really. And you can't tell anybody.
No.
No. So I thought about it, thought, well, I've always told my husband things, so in the end I decided I would. But it's so easy to, you know, to say. So I told him, but we told none of the children or anything.
No.
So nobody knew until it was announced on the New Year. Yeah. So, yeah, it was mm-hmm. it was an absolute total surprise, and very nice. Yes. Yeah, so yeah.
And have you received any other awards or recognition?
Yes. Previous to that, in 2007, I was asked to go to the Albert Hall. Because of work I'd done in the floods, I think that was what, you know, I think Angela put my name forward, and so there were two of us. I don't know, the other person came from the south. It was a man that I went with, but that was what I was told, because I'd worked, you know, worked quite hard with that, and that was an experience really as well. It was really nice, and sort of all the rehearsing that you do, you know, and sort of got access to the Albert Hall, and, you know, and all the history, and the Chelsea pensioners. It's really, really nice, yeah. So, and then on the night when the Queen comes, and it was very nice. And also we got a Prime Minister's Award for what work we've done in the floods. Went to Lancaster House for that, and there was a reception. We didn't know that Gordon Brown was coming at the time, but he did, and there was a lot of MPs and people like that, so that was nice, and just a reception, really. But then locally, there were quite a lot of receptions after the floods, really, in appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the one who went, but it was really, I think, the most important thing. Although I've got the recognition, and I always do that when I go out, because I still give talks to people.
Yeah.
About, well, I try and keep it current, you know, with the RBS. But I always say it's not just me, it's teamwork. You know, without the volunteers, we were nothing, really. Okay, we trained them and that, but, you know, they all gel together, and they wanted to do the best that they could, really. So, I always stress that one, really. Yeah.
And we're talking about sort of other restructures and things like that. Have you been affected by the new hub system that we've put in place?
Well, it's been different.
Mm.
I've had call outs from the locality manager. Carol, and she's called me out sometimes. I've also, I usually meet up with Paul a few times a year. Well, it's been more lately, because in fact he asked me to be on a strategic board for a bid that they're putting in for, I don't know, you probably know about what's happening, but anyhow, they're putting this large bid, so I was invited to go there. So I went to a meeting in London not long ago, and I think the bid's now been put in. See, it's for a lot of money over a number of years. So I've had quite a lot of contact. I've been with Paul to Leeds as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but finally, in fact, I only had a phone call from the bid writer yesterday, actually, and, you know, to keep us in the loop, really. So, yes, I've had, you know, as I say, contact with Carol, contact with Paul, but more contact with Paul as it happens now, because of this new work that's coming off. Possibly, but it's competitive, so whether they get the bid or not, we don't know.
And that's for emergency?
It isn't, no.
Is it for?
It's for, it's sort of health, yes. And I don't know whether you know anything about it or not. No.
Not
really, no. It's to do with health of the elderly. I don't know that I can sort of say more than that, but they won't know the outcome of it until October, November.
It does take
takes a while. But as I say, heard about the update yesterday, and there'll be more updates regarding that. But he seems, I think he asked me to do something else as well, but I don't know, some sort of, but I just couldn't at the time, because I'm also involved with the Crown Court in Sheffield. I help looking after witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
One day a week. So I can only do a limited amount of work. But so far we've kept the emergency services going, but it's getting harder and harder, and because of the volunteers. You know, I've asked them to sort of pass on volunteers, but I don't. That's the only thing, you don't always get them passed on.
No.
And we do need it. And there used to be somebody previously who would talk to the people about all the services within the area, you know, and get them involved. But that person doesn't seem to exist. I suppose really it ought to be Carol or somebody like that tells people about other services.
Yeah.
It just doesn't
just doesn't get
happen, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. No. And I've mentioned that about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I still don't get any passed on. So the service may close in, mm-hmm. because you don't get the volunteers to take it on. It won't go on, will it?
No.
I think it's closed in a lot of places. Emergency services, yeah. The R&R. Because of... the emphasis is different, isn't it? It's on the elderly.
Yes.
Different services, yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
But things do change, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in your opinion, since you started volunteering, what do you think's been the biggest change to the organisation?
Well, the biggest change really was the fact that it went back. When I first started, it was really sort of like emergency services, hospital services, community services, mm-hmm. and so on. And then the emergency services got a bit of money, or it was, you know, if we needed some insoles and things, we got them from the hospital or whatever. But it was still distinctly, you know, run like that. And then it changed again when we, you know, we were definitely sort of more separate. And now it's sort of gone back together in a way. But they said that there were going to be more volunteers because of the way it was going to be managed.
Yeah.
They were going to be crossed over. But I don't think that has particularly happened,
no.
actually. But, you know, obviously we've had one or two different chief executives and they all have their own vision, mm-hmm. don't they?
Yes.
But I just don't think it's changed, and it's much the same as it was before, really. That there was one person over a lot of them, over a lot of the services. But they're also, you know, working separately as well, yeah. And one person can't actually keep everything going. And I think, you know, I think really, we said this, that emergency services was something that was quite professional, really. I know the others are,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want fools in emergency services. They, what should I say, the local authorities want you to be trained,
mm-hmm.
and knowledgeable. And you can't just go in. And I think, you know, the vision was that people would just go in and from the hospitals and they'd be able to pick it up.
Yeah. No.
I don't think that's true. I mean, like Angela had a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
She knew lots of different things. You can't pass that experience. And you can't get... You can just sort of skirt over it, but you can lose a lot of people as well. And I think overall... That's what's happened, is the local authorities have wanted more proper knowledge. And I mean, I think Red Cross have gone into it a bit more. They've kept as they are, haven't they, with a lot of the management. But I think we've just slightly diluted it. Well, quite a bit diluted, really. But you got to try these things, I suppose. But I think that's changed a lot, really. And, you know, from my point of view, I didn't, when the reorganisation came, there was no way I wanted to take on or even consider taking on hospitals and all the different things. I wanted to do emergency services because you got a lot of knowledge, and that would just sort of, they didn't want that, did they? You know,
no.
They just changed the vision of it,
mm-hmm.
all. But I think with certain things, you couldn't do that. I think with community and hospitals and that, you could have kept it. But I think to get rid of the knowledge that they did,
mm-hmm.
was not a good idea. But that's just a point of view.
Yeah.
But I would never say that to particularly to volunteers or anybody else.
No.
But I do think the knowledge that they lost was a bit sad.
Mm-hmm. And so where would you say that Royal Voluntary Service is now place in society is today?
Well, it seems to be well thought of and mm-hmm. In quite a high position, really. I mean, after going to this strategic board meeting in London, it was interesting because there were people from Scotland and, you know, from the UK generally and Ireland and everywhere. You got quite a good cross-section. And I don't know, and then we're working alongside other people and they seem to think highly of us as well. As regards other voluntary agencies within the city, say, I'm not sure that we're thought of as much as some of the other agents, organisations. But nationally, we may be. I couldn't really say whether we, you know, but it does seem to be very good. I went to the service at St Paul's and that seemed to be very well attended, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have thought it was doing very well.
Yeah.
But if I had to measure it, I couldn't say.
No. And what do you think is the future for Royal Voluntary Service?
Well, it seems to be making very big bids for lots of money to maybe help with working with, you know, the elderly, really, in different aspects. You know, the one that I'm involved with at the moment, that'll be quite a big thing if they pull that off. And I'm sure that there are other things to do with the elderly that they'll be able to make bids for as well, because obviously care homes and things like that, they're not all that's wonderful. So they've just got to think in terms of what the needs of the elderly are and, you know, try and get money for it. But that is, seems to be the way that they're going. They're not... It just seems to me a little bit that they're for the big money, because I know that, you know, we still have a contract with Sheffield, and it wasn't renewed immediately, and the local authority had to, because we used to do it on a regular basis, you know, Andrew had asked for them in January, out in March. And it had been done previously, not too badly, although there'd always had to be reminders. But this year, you know, to really, really go at it about several months later, it just feels a little bit as, are they not interested in the smaller amounts?
You know?
And I think that's a pity, because, you know, from one thing, you sometimes get openings, don't you? And you can't just have your eye on the big money all the time. And I don't know that. And the other thing is, I feel as well that they have lost a lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of paid people, and that's always been a bit of a bone of contention, even, you know, a number of years ago. You know, oh, she's come and not much good, but then there was. If you had a good supervisor, they could keep that, like, you know, we've tried to keep things in control. You can control it. But now, you know, it's sometimes they get people along who are paid who aren't really suitable.
No.
And it doesn't always go well. And I know a few volunteers that have just left. And they say, oh, we'll stay with you, but we've just had enough of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's difficult because there are a lot more paid people now.
Yeah.
But they have to. They've got to make it work, don't they, really? Mm-hmm. that you've got to keep an eye on things. And there was one other thing that was interesting about a meeting that was supposed to be happening about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They'd sent a lot of letters out to get this meeting in the Sheffield office for something. And they just sent the letters out and nobody turned up, the volunteers. And I thought, I've never had that happen. Because, you know, they'd sent them out several weeks before, and if you felt something wasn't going right, you'd ring them up or something, but it'd just been left. They got this stuff ready and nobody turned up. And I just thought, that's a bit sad, really, you know, that there isn't that communication and individuality. But maybe that's because of the amount of work they have to do. But I think you've just got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
And but there's lots of things you could say, yeah. But that's those are some of my thoughts, really. Because as I say, we still have this meeting that goes on in Sheffield through about 3 times a year, and we always get at least 20 people come to it. And they've still got that contact, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
You've still got that social, well, the meeting up side.
It's a social one, but it's also for people who are still active, yeah.
Yeah, because lots of people have said to me that when they joined WRVS, it was all about the camaraderie and the friendship.
Yeah. I think that's it, and that's what I'm saying, is that there isn't the communication except for, you know, doing a job or something, and people like that. And I suppose really the people that come to my meetings are people who've known each other a very long time, so they'll even ring and, you know, give their apologies or something. But we've just recently been to the Botanical Gardens. I had somebody. Got somebody to show them round. I went along, there were about nearly 20 people there. We just went round there. We usually have one outing like that and then two meetings, updates, and update about R&R and things like that, yeah. So I just think you've got to be careful, but they've gone away a bit from it all.
Yeah.
You know? You can't just have your eye on the money all the time. And I think they're probably trying to get it back. But once you lose it, it's quite hard to get back, isn't it?
It is. And do you have any other memories or stories about your time at WRVS that you'd like to share?
I'd like to just say that I've had a lot of really good people, and I've still the person who's been very, very good. Well, one's moved to Nottingham and she retired and went, but she used to help me ever such a lot, doing bits of admin and things, you know, sort of voluntary and etc. And the other person is somebody who always helps with the operational side, Janet Burrows. She's always done ever such a lot in Sheffield, and, you know, she was there the other night actually at the emergency. 3 or 4 of us went, but, you know, she's done, we've had a lot of fun really together as well. But I suppose really one of the things that interests was about Sawyer Boilers. You may have heard about this.
Yeah.
When I first joined, I think it was only a year or two after that, went up to Easingmole to it was just somewhere near Easingmole, in order to cook meals outside, because these soy boilers were often used. But anyhow, they were also showing you how to build trench cookers and all sorts of different things. And we had to cook, we went into different groups, and we each had to cook some part of the meal. I think it ended up like sort of apple crumble and custard somebody had to do. It all had to be cooked, and you had to build the cooker as well. So it was quite an adventure, but, you know, what fun you had really doing that. Horror, but fun, yes. But that was an interesting one. And people, you know, would go, and because you do get quite a lot of volunteers who are on their own and like to go somewhere like that, you know, and do things, or perhaps not now, but they did,
yeah.
You know. And I think it could interest people. But also at St Luke's, when we first started doing that, because we did that for nearly 20 years, I can remember, and we had soy boilers there because we had it on the field. And there we had to boil the water because they had a big marquee, and the water was boiled on the boilers because you couldn't take it from the building, because it's got bigger and bigger as St Luke's anyhow. But again, we had two people who were really good at looking after the boilers. You mm-hmm. know, you had to have that, looked after them, kept it going, kept the water going. And some of these fairs and things were particularly happy times, really, with a lot of enjoyment. And people say, "Oh, can we come next year? Can we do it again?" And Werlow Farm as well. We were used to go. That's an education centre where they raise money for that. We went there for about 15 years, actually. But again, they reorganised and different things happened. Eventually. We did all sorts there, and there was a farmer in between that used to invite us, and he was very pro WRVS, and you know, we used to raise money partly for them, but we always sort of took some as well, yeah. You know, but they used to make tremendous fuss. They had lambing times, so it was open sometimes four times during the year. So we, you know, we've done such a lot of things, and that's why I think the Sheffield people feel very together, really, yes, over the years. But as I say, it could be a dying breed, really. In other places, like as I said to you earlier on about the Four Inns Walk, that was another happy event. I think the big events have been really quite notable, and the one in Barnsley, the big police one, you know, where you get lots of volunteers and you all work together, and you know, sometimes you've got to have shifts of people and different things like that, but they were always so reliable, the volunteers, and you know, love to do everything, yeah. So I think that's been one of the most striking things and most happy thing was sort of, you know, being able to help in emergencies or whatever, but also having reliable people to work alongside you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I think.
Yeah. And sort of everything we've discussed and talked about today, what would you say is your most treasured memory of being with WRVS?
I don't know, I seem to have a lot of memories, really. But I suppose, really, if I was thinking, I mean, lots of different things have happened, as I've mentioned to you, but really, without WRVS, I don't think I'd have got an OB, and I think,
no.
I think that really sort of built it to a climax, you know, just something totally unexpected. And so I suppose really just going to the palace and treasuring that is probably the most treasured memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I, you know, you've no idea that anything ever like that would ever happen, but as it did, I think I've got to say that, really. Yeah. And also having Yeah, I think I when Mark Lever was there, it was great. He was a really, you know, because he actually started at a similar time, really.
Yeah.
And worked through the ranks, and he was very much with us and kept us all going. And so, yeah, I'm glad that it could work at a similar sort of time, really. But people you've met over the years as well, and working with people. But as I said, I think that was the ultimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Christine, for talking to me today, and this will make a really good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.